Okay, Ron, and I'll add to that study number 183 in our study of wisdom. And also we dealing with Jack Eberle's Workman's Interlinear and these last seven books of the Apostle Paul that he penned, and to realize and to understand, Lord, that of what the Lord did for mankind, for us, is something that just goes and goes and gets to be beyond, almost beyond belief as to what he did for us. And I don't think he ever gave it a thought about just turning his back on us ever, never. Because this is, he makes promises, and these promises are always yea and amen. So we just can't do it. So we wound up last time through verse 9 of Titus chapter 3. But I'm going to read that again, and then we're going to start with 10. But we ain't got but 5 verses left. And so part of this is his dealings with him going from one place to another place. But as we finish Titus up, we still got 2 Timothy to go. And so here we go, Titus 3:9, and it says, "But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain." And we looked at, quite quickly, we looked at several verses of scripture there that dealt with there like we always do, but then we ran out of time, and so we're going to start today with verse 10 in study 183. Verse 10, it goes on to say this, out of the King James Version, "A man that is a heretic after the first or second admonition, reject." So,
interesting.
Paul is winding this up with Titus in his way of doing things. And so certainly, you know, we've went through several verses of scripture where it tells us to speak evil of no man, and sometimes we were foolish and all these things. And so we're down to 10. And so Paul knew that certainly that Titus would come upon these people, because I think he ran upon a lot of these folks himself. And he was, kind of was one for a while. And because he was going to destroy this sect that he called it, being Jesus Christ. And then he got everything changed a little bit on the Damascus Road and wound up being blind for 3 days. And he was in Damascus, right at Damascus, when all this happened. And so he was there for a little while and was prayed for. And, of course, the Lord sent somebody to restore his vision. But his vision was never, I don't think, what it was before. And a lot of people say, well, that might have been the thorn in his side, but it might have been part of it, but I'm not so sure that it was, because Paul had been chosen for this test to show us the mystery truth that had not been revealed to man ever before until we get into Acts, the end of Acts. And then, you know, that's when seven of those books were penned, and then the last seven were penned after the Lord told him, you know, go to the Gentiles. They'll hear it. They'll hear this understanding. But also the Jews had the opportunity to. So thinking about that, excuse me, and remembering that, the Jewish people had gone down the road quite a long ways on the wrong side, I think, or on the wrong lane, if you want to put it that way. But here we go in verse 10. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject. Well, there's another word for heretic. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But I'm going to read you my notes. And then we'll get into Jack's stuff and get this verse of scripture hopefully taken care of. Amen, it says. That's what it begins with, and that's the word anthropos. An anthropos is an individual of the genus Homo. A human being as opposed or opposite of animals. Okay, and that is known here in this verse as a heretic. And that is someone who holds views or beliefs opposed to church or assembly doctrines. And another word for heretic is sectarian, as one who shows no sign of or desire to know scriptural truth, which is understood in our terms to be known as a sect, if you will. And it says, after the first, or a first and second admonition, and he says, reject. And that word reject there is a mild rebuke or reprimand, not argumentative, in that sense, because God's word is not meant to be argumentative. It's plain and simple. And if you don't understand it, maybe you don't have the Holy Spirit guiding and directing you into the words and the meaning of these things that are put there for a reason and a purpose. And so, it's not a long verse of scripture, but yet it's still important. So let's go to the Workman's Interlinear, which has the Koine Greek, which I can't read, but Jack, in his wonderful work on this book, which is, by the way, in the Library of Congress, Washington, D.C., if that means anything. I don't know if anybody would ever get it down and look at it, but there. But nevertheless, Jack did a good job with it, and I appreciate him more and more every day that, and I've known him for a long time, but still, and I've got his picture in my dining room, him and his wife, and I look at him every day and say, thank you, Lord, for their lives and for what they did, and it still goes on and on and on.
Amen.
Okay. Here it is, out of the Koine Greek. Sicarian. And that's heretic, really. Man after one, and second admonition, reject. So this kind of brings all this down to just a little short sentence rather than a little longer one. But in the more modern English is this, a man who is a sectarian, after first and second admonition, reject. And so here's Jack's note on it, and it's not very long. If the sectarian shows no sign of accepting or desiring to know scriptural truth, there is no other recourse but to allow him to his own devices. Jack says, many are called, but few are chosen. You can read that if you want to sometime in Matthew 22:14. Woost. I'm not sure who Woost is, but he must be very big in old scripture for sure. But it says he characterizes such a person as being turned inside out. You ever put on any clothing and started to go somewhere and find you had it in? I call it wrong side out. My grandma said wrong side out. But Jack says inside out. Certainly, little good can come from frequent traipsing to such one's doorsteps. And Jack says, God must deal with him. So, he's looking at what Paul wrote to Titus, and Jack said, well, you know, this is how he is. This is what shape he's in. And he needs to have a change of heart before he can begin to understand anything. And it's like having your clothes on the wrong side out. He can't, you know, it doesn't.
It feels weird.
Yeah, it feels weird and it doesn't look right either. So here we are, you know, two things that's going wrong here that needed to be corrected, and the comforter can surely do that without any problems if you allow him into your life and heart. Okay, two places we want to look at. We're going to start at Acts 20. Jack's back down here to two places, and it's been a long time since we looked at something that just had two places in Jack's study. So back to Acts 20, and we're going to read verses 29-32, and it's on page 1635 if you have a companion Bible. If you don't, I can't tell you what page it might be on. But Acts 20, we're going to read 29-32 on page 1635. And I got it right here in front of me. In front of me. 29, it says this. I've been working outside all week, so I'm getting a little hoarse. It said, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Two more verses. Therefore watch. So when Paul says, beware, in a sense, and this is basically what it is. So he says, be on the lookout, therefore watch. And remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. Now, Paul is getting on up in the little age here, but he's still doing it with the feeling that brings along with it tears. And that's an important sense that a man has. There are people, we'll call them people, that have, because when some things bring tears, it needs some looking into. Whatever it might be. Verse 32. And now, brother, I commend you to God and to the world of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. That is a mouthful. That is truly a mouthful. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. God's grace through his word is able to do all things.
Amen.
There's nothing there that hinders God from helping you or me if we truly desire and need it. And sometimes he does it before we know we need it. Yeah. I can tell you for a fact that happens to me more than a little. And Lord, a lot of times I say, Lord, I don't deserve this. And a lot, when I'm giving thanks for my food and stuff, or I lay down at night in the bed, and I thank him for keeping me safe and my home and doing all these things and that I'm doing. I can't do it myself. But yet through those that I get to help me and all, we get it done and it's done the way it's supposed to be done. Sometimes I call on my kids or I call on my friends or I call on those I know or somebody I don't even know. It doesn't matter. But that's how it is. That's just how it is. Now the next thing that we need to look at is Philippians 3. We go from Acts to Philippians 3. And let me see. Yep. I got it right here. In Philippians 3, we're going to look at 17 through 21. And if you have a companion Bible, that's on page 1778. 1778. Philippians 3, 17 through the end of the chapter. And it says this, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye also have us for an example. Okay. Mark there is the Greek word scopio. It means use your eyes and mark them out. Keep an eye on them. Okay. And then we got a parenthetical insertion here. In 18 and 19, and it says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, now and tell you even weeping, here's the crying again, and certainly that's not a shameful thing with a grown man, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. That is a shameful thing, but Paul's feelings were not a shameful thing, but he would hope that they would change their way of being, because they're the ones that Jack says are inside out. And this is not the last time Jack's going to use this either in his study. So, And it says in verse 19, we're going to finish up the parenthetical insertion here. Whose end is destruction? Whose God is their belly? And whose glory is in their shame? Who mind earthly things? When you get someone that doesn't think anything about the things of God, but all of the things that are on this earth, in which most of them are, have been tampered with and put down by Satan and his minions. But to realize that here we are, we're still here, and we're still in this battle. And the reason Paul is crying about this, because God had pity on man when he put enmity between the seeds. But there's a word in one letter that's different from pity, and it's piety. And that is to be a grown up in a group. So if you're in an assembly or in a group, you're not going to get very far with God's word as far as learning if somebody in that group is not a grown up there. And I'm talking about somebody with the Holy Spirit leading and directing, because what he just said was absolutely opposite from that. He's like the old gal in the cartoon in the paper that has a treetop cafe. And somebody sat out on the bar stool and said, "How good are you at algebra?" She said, "Well, I know a little bit." Said, "I often wonder why I got tied up with my ex. But then I look around and still try to understand, and I don't know why." She didn't say anything about Z. So I thought that was pretty good. It says in verse 20, Paul says to the Philippians, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned or made like unto his glorious body, according to the workings whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." And so if we're going to be part of his body and we're going to be part of this, he has the ability and he has the knowledge and the wisdom and the wherewith to change us from one thing to another thing for eternity. Even give us life again and have that understanding there for that. So that's the two things that Jack wanted us to look at there in that verse of scripture. So he says, little good can come from frequent traipse into such a one's doorstep. So God must deal with him. God needs to deal with him. And so that's what Paul was chosen for. He was to tell these people about the Godhead and what the Godhead could do for them, and to show them that they just didn't have the hope of Israel. They had a hope now that it was their own. Whew, great as that. Okay, look at verse 11. Verse 11 in Titus 3. talking about the heretic again, or the person, he says, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. He is self-condemned because he doesn't change, doesn't want to change, and doesn't plan to change. He's seemingly somewhat satisfied with what he has, not knowing what he could get. And that's a real something to think about. Okay, let's look at this one. Verse 11. Knowing. What is it about knowing? Wisdom comes by hearing the word, and knowing comes from study to show yourself approved of God. Knowing, to know. It's the verb, to know, intuitively. Meaning, you don't even have to think about it. To know. How to. That's without effect, even to understand. We do a lot of things just as normal as breathing or eating or whatever we do. We don't have to really think about it. Our body might tell us that, but we can do it without effort to say, well, what am I supposed to do here? That's for an old man like me, see? And sometimes I'll get up and go somewhere looking for something. When I get there, I'll say, now what did I come in here for? Well, that's a little different because, as you get a little older, these things begin to kind of run together. So knowing that he that is such is subverted. Well, what's subverted? Having an acceptance of falseness and not scriptural truth, knowing as being turned wrong side out. And sinneth. And when we sin, we have taken the wrong walk, because this is the job of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there to keep us on track. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit. God, through His Son, sends the Holy Spirit to keep us basically from being lost. I always say it's my GPS. And when I testify to people a little bit or talk to them about the Lord, I said, well, you got a GPS in your car? Yeah, I got one on my telephone. I said, okay. You know what GPS stands for? Global Positioning System. That's what man dreamed up. But you know what God dreamed up? God dreamed up GPS too, and it's God's perfect Son. He put that little seed in Mary, and it grew for 30 years and taught on this earth for 3 years. He taught and healed and did various things, miracles and wonders. And He's my GPS, God's perfect Son. Amen. And man didn't have anything to do with that. So God did. And he says, knowing that this being, if he's in a situation like this, that he is subverted, having an acceptance of falseness and not scriptural truth, known as being turned wrong side out, and sinneth, having taken the wrong walk. And I tell people, my GPS is the Holy Spirit, and I may not know where I'm at all the time.
But he does.
But I know this. I am never lost and will never be lost as long as I serve God.
Amen.
Now, sometimes I might get on the wrong walk a little bit, but that's the old man in me. So we still have the old man in us. But we're already reckoned to be dead and be raised with him. And this wrong walk is being condemned of himself. He has condemned himself by not accepting, understanding that God could make him whole again or make him turn himself back right side out. So that was my notes. Now let me read what Jack said. And they might sound a little kind of like a little same. But out of the Koine Greek it says, knowing that turned inside out, such a one, and sins being self-condemned. That's pretty simple. Knowing that such a one is turned inside out, sins, and is being self-condemned. Jack says, remember the previous verse. This person who will not accept the truth of the scriptures must be left. He is inside out and cannot correct himself. Doesn't have the ability. He does not even have the capacity to realize his condition. What can change that? Prayer, of course, is the option of those who care for this one. Unfortunately, in this state, he is, by his own condition, condemned. Satan has the power and the will to turn people inside out. I don't know of anything on the inside that's beautiful. Everything we know is beautiful is the outward appearance. And when that's taken away, what have you got left? Ask yourself, if you're dealing with someone like this, ask them. You know the shape you're in?
Little granddaughter was asking questions today about Judas that was with the Lord, the one that betrayed him. I want to know, you know, whatever happened to him. I'm like, well, I can, talking about inside out,
yeah.
I can tell you what happened to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, his insides came out too.
Came out, gushed out.
In Acts 1, yeah.
Right. So, there you go. You got an example there that's what happened to him. Okay, let's look at, we got three places or four here, three places to look here. But here we want to go all the way back now to Deuteronomy at page 287. And I've got it marked in my Bible. Thank the Lord. I could remember that. Okay. I'm going to read on page 287. I said 287. Yeah, I wanted to look at 20 and 21, but I want to read on 286, which is the page across from it. I want to read verse 1. And this is the blessings wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And in chapter 33, gives you a list of the blessings of the tribes collectively. And it starts verses 2 through 5. And it says, Reuben, Judah, Levi, Benjamin, Joseph, Zebulun, and Issachar, Gad, Dan, Naphtali, Asher, Israel collectively with Jehovah King, and the conclusion of that. So we're going to read a little bit of this that deals with Gad. 21 through 22. It says, and of Gad he said, blessed is he that enlargeth Gad. Full stop. He dwelleth as a lion and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. And he provided the first part for himself because there in a portion of the lawgiver was he seated. And he became with the heads of the people, and he executed the justice of the Lord in his judgments with Israel. You know, we talked a little while back about the word that ended with Tor, like fabricate Tor. Well, there's another word that goes along with that, and we still use it today, but you very seldom hear it, but sometimes you see it printed. And that's the word T-O-R-T. Tort. Have you ever been reading something about the law where it says tort? That was Israel's law. It was not just T-O-R, but T-O-R-T, meaning that they were all supposed to know the law of God, every one of them. But how many did? Now, and of Dan, he said, Dan is a lion whelp, and he shall leap from Bashan. He was going to go from there. And you can find that in Genesis 49, 16 through 18, if you want to look at that sometime. Okay, let's go from Deuteronomy to Matthew 1. Shouldn't be too hard to find Matthew 1. We get to Matthew 1, and we're going to look at 21 through 25, and that, if you have a companion Bible, that's on 13.9, page 13.9. Matthew 1, 21 through 25. Here it is talking about a woman and what she is going to do. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bid him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So you see, before, I think Christ came in many ways and many shapes and forms, and a lot of people, when he would show up, sometimes he would be on a white horse. And in other times he would show up and they would look at him as being God, which he was, the Son of God, but he hadn't shown himself, you know, to all the world in that manner. Just certain times that these things were done. But it's in God's Word all through the Old Testament of how He was going to come and how it was going to be and all this stuff. And everything that was prophesied by the prophet, because the Father was giving the prophets the Word that they was to carry to mankind. And a lot of times, or most times, or maybe all times, I don't know, they couldn't do anything with God's Word, but they could certainly do something with the one that carried the Word. And so that's the reason the prophets got bad raps in that situation. Now, let's go from, we went from Deuteronomy, let's go about the other end of the Bible, and let's go to the book of 1 John. We're going to go to 1 John. We're going to look at 1 John 1. John 1:4-10. And John said this, 4, that's on page 1871. He says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declared unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And this is where I said one time to somebody that Jesus Christ did not cast a shadow when he was here on the earth. And they said, oh, that can't be. Read that again. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He doesn't cast a shadow. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleansed us from all sin. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." You see, Christ was born that way. When they brought that seed and put it in Mary's womb, she had been cleansed. She had been, had her sins taken away, because God cannot remain in a sinful situation. He doesn't. That's the reason, as soon as your breath leaves you, whether you know the Lord or whether you don't, the Holy Spirit is no longer there. And it has, maybe have, still has a job to do, but if you're a believer. But, you know, this is something that we don't talk about sometime. But what is it that Christ needs of an individual to be able to bring him to life again? I don't have the answer to it, but maybe you do, but think about that for a minute. And so we've got through two verses, but I want to go through the third one, which is verse 12. Verse 12. It says, when I shall sin, let me get back to my King James Version. It says, when I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. So he's making arrangements now because he's going to move. And my notes is this, when I shall send at that time Artemis unto thee, and no name mentioned elsewhere in Scripture of Artemis, but evidently a fellow believer, or Tychicus. So when we read that we realize that he could do either one that he choose to do. Why? He says, be diligent, meaning you, Titus. Diligent there is painstakingly careful. Because Paul has given us understanding that all of the things that beset him, or a lot of the things that beset him, were of his countrymen or his fellow Israelites. Be diligent, be painstakingly careful to come unto me to Nicopolis, full stop. This is an idea of perils and travel at that time in the world. Also, it says, it is uncertain as to what city was referred to bearing this name, Nicopolis. He says, for I, Paul, have determined or made my mind there to winter. Okay, Jack says this in 12. When I shall send Artemis toward you, or Tychicus, be diligent to come toward me to Nicopolis. There I have decided to winter. And in the more modern English says, when I shall send Artemis toward you, or Tychicus, be diligent to come toward me unto Nicopolis, for I have decided to winter there. And Paul had studied out his situation and decided to winter in Nicopolis. Probably, it says, Epirus. One is sent to relieve Titus, and Titus is to come to Nicopolis to abide with Paul. They will doubtless consult upon various situations in the body and the Lord. So, in order to realize what was going on here, and I won't read it tonight because I'm out of time, but go back to Acts 27 and read up to 12 through verse 12, and then go to Acts 28 and look at verse 11. And it'll give you some information there. But when I put this extra verse in there, I didn't know if I would be able to get it in or not, but we just got under the wire. So, now that he is sending them people to help him out, and there's going to be others that are going to be involved too in 13, 14, and 15. A lawyer, and Apollos, and all that are with him. So he's going to be wintering there for that time. And then once we leave here, then Titus is going to be with him, and we're going to go back to 2 Timothy and finish up these seven books. So been a long time. Been better than 3 years, plus we've had a stop occasion or two there.
Yep.
And sometimes that can't be helped. And sometimes times and days fall on things when people are doing other stuff. And in order to keep the continuity going with the study, we would maybe take off that particular time, but not meaning to just quit, but just get back on it the following week, if that be the way it would work out. So thank you for sticking with us. And I don't know if you've been here all the time or not, but, you know, 3 years and 52 weeks times 3 is 156 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's been about 3.5 years.
Well, you're gonna say it's been more than 3 years for sure.
And realize that I've been dealing with Jack's book for that length of time sometimes frightens me a little bit. But believe it or not, I have enjoyed it immensely, and I've learned a lot. And I have been corrected in some things, which I need to be sometimes. But nevertheless, we carry on as best we can with God's Word, with what education we have and what knowledge we have. And the knowledge, certainly all that comes from the Holy Spirit, out of God's Word. And hopefully I've tried to rightly divide most of it, but it gets so deep sometimes that, you know, and I've seen Ronnie do the same thing. It gets to be sometimes a surface treatment rather than an in-depth study. But nevertheless, it's always good to go back over it again and look at things that you considered you understood. But it's kind of like plowing new ground over again, or plowing ground that you plowed before. Sometimes you turn things up that
You didn't see
before.
Done that too.
And it continues to do so. And that's one way that you can tell that you're growing in in the Lord Jesus Christ, because, oh man, when you come up on, I didn't see that before. So that's a great thing to realize that, that there's another layer there that you haven't really gotten involved with. Not meaning not to, but you know, this is, who can know the depths of the wisdom of God when He lays it out to you?
Amen.
I mean, we're doing a surface treatment on it at the very best. So God bless. Thank you for being with us. And continue, hopefully, to be with us. And we'll get one. If the Lord allows, we'll get at least one more book in, and so we can have gone over the last books that Paul put forth and really put his heart into the whole thing. And he certainly had the ability to do it, because God don't choose somebody and not give them the tools to do it with. Now, thank you, and God bless.